Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. The memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church, is celebrated on the Monday after Pentecost to honor Mary's maternal role over the church and all of the faithful. Here's what's coming up on today's program. For today, we highlight the work of a Catholic organization for business and societal leaders called the Lumen Institute. The Lumen Institute is an international organization, but has a strong presence right here in the greater Houston area. So we'll talk with their managing director, Bob Dill, about his own Catholic faith and how being a part of the Lumen Institute helps him in his own faith journey. Also here on the program, there's a new free smartphone app created by a Houstonian aimed at helping you learn Catholic prayers in Latin. Holden Cole, who loves attending the traditional Latin Mass, will tell us about his own conversion to Catholicism and why he wanted to help his fellow churchgoers who want to learn some more traditional Latin prayers. And finally, my colleague Zach Allen, KSHJ General Manager, will join us with a couple of updates on events and activities we're planning for here in the greater Houston area, including a speaker event with Dr. Carlo Broussard in August. Before we do all that, though, we want to begin this program, as we always do, in prayer, keeping in mind that May is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, honoring her role as Mother of God and spiritual mother of all Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly into thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A special thank you to St. Joseph Catholic Church in Baytown, Texas. I was there this past weekend with the support of their pastor, Father Took Wynn. Also a thank you to Zoe Krizak, a parishioner at St. Joseph's in Baytown, and a longtime supporter of this radio station. I was there in Baytown with a promotional table after their masses, with our prayer cards, bumper stickers, etc., letting people know about our ministry. And I remember receiving a warm welcome there in Baytown when I visited last year, so it was great to be back this past weekend. Also, a thank you to everyone at St. Nicholas Catholic Church in downtown Houston. My colleague, Zach Allen, was there on Saturday for the rededication of the church and blessing of their altar. That's following a number of renovations to the church. His Excellency, Archbishop Joe Vasquez, was there for the rededication. Prince of Peace Catholic Church in Houston is inviting you to their annual Agape Congress. The Agape Congress is for adults and children. It's a bilingual event that focuses on love, identity, and living in today's culture. So take note of the date itself as registration is open. It's going to be on Saturday, June 13th. It's a day-long event that helps attendees to better understand and grow in their faith while addressing some big issues for us as a church. Father John Bullock will be the keynote speaker for the adult track. For the children's track, the keynote speaker will be Father David Ramirez. For all the details and to register, you can visit Prince of Peace Catholic Church website. That's pophouston.org, pophouston.org, and look for Agape Congress, Prince of Peace in Houston, Saturday, June 13th. If you are a business leader or organization head that is looking for a professional group of like-minded Catholics, you might consider discerning the Lumen Institute. It's a Catholic organization with chapters all across the country, but has a very strong presence here in particular in the greater Houston area. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network is Bob Dill. Bob is the managing director of the Lumen Institute, which is a Catholic nonprofit organization, and he's here to tell us more a little bit about the Lumen Institute. Bob, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate your being here in the KSHJ studio. Glad to have you here, sir.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I've heard of the Lumen Institute before. There are people who all across the greater Houston area that are part of it and in other parts of the country as well. But for people who are unfamiliar, tell me about the Lumen Institute.
Yeah. So the Lumen Institute, I used to say national. It's more international now. So We just opened 3 chapters in Mexico two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so we're now at 22 chapters throughout North America, headquartered in New York City.
Okay.
So a little bit about the history and what Lumen is about and the charism. So Lumen started back well, people in Houston remember Enron, Tyco, all the corporate crisis and about 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Lumen was actually a response to that. Father John Connor, the Legionaries of Christ, and some very prominent businessmen in New York, Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C. area, they just saw this need to create more virtuous leaders, decision makers. Mm-hmm. And that was really the genesis of the Lumen Institute.
So, Bob, let's talk a little bit about why the mission is so important for business leaders in the community. I feel like for a lot of people who are hardworking men and women, you know, they don't often have all the time, or the resources to get, spiritual coaching, that kind of spiritual nourishment that they need. So it feels to me then that the Lumen Institute is trying to fill that need, is trying to have a place where business leaders, people in management can go, where it might be difficult otherwise.
Yeah, very much so. So we try to really live that mission, and that mission being the formation of Christian leaders illuminating society with the light of Christ. Mm-hmm. So the formation comes through the Legionaries of Christ, and that's one-to-one spiritual coaching. They also serve as chaplains in our meeting. Mm-hmm. And typically you'll have 12 to 20 people in a cohort or in a chapter.
Okay.
The second part of that mission, illuminating society with the light of Christ, That's what we call Lumen Action, and that's why we get to try to make the mission come to life. And there are a number of ways we do that, and through a personal our own leadership, personal family, business. We have activities at a chapter level, and then we have some larger institutional level actions that we do.
It seems as though the benefit of that would be also like some personal character development, how you're going to be able to treat other people in business environment, if you have employees, people under you, how you treat those around you. And I guess Lumen Institute provides a foundation where people can think about that, reflect on that, pray about how I'm treating the other person in the same way Christ would.
Yeah, very much so. So we have Lumen core values, and there are 12 of them, and mm-hmm. they center around character, faith, and leadership. So in these meetings, I can just talk through what a typical meeting looks like, but we always start with one of those core values. And there's a reflection on there. There's a write-up. We try to bring it into current terms and how we would integrate that into our lives, into our business. Then there's a gospel reflection and then a business case. So you're really trying to integrate those values and again, back to making more virtuous business leaders.
And I imagine the feedback that you get from people who are part of the Lumen Institute that attend these meetings are really thankful to have this, because in our busy day-to-day life, they're probably running around on their cell phone, responding to things, in many cases, even if they're outside of work. This sort of gives them an opportunity to business meeting or prayer group or whatnot to kind of take the time to stop and reflect.
It really does. Yeah, it's so important because we're so busy and it's so easy to be distracted. And we just the busyness, I think, just pulls us away. And there's something unique about that group. So first and foremost, it's a peer group of business executives, right? Mm-hmm. So you get the benefit of the peer group. It is it's confidential, so you can be vulnerable, you can open up in there, but it's that Christian perspective, it's that dimension of spirituality in the business cases that is different. It's a different conversation than they're going to have anywhere else. So I think that's the real value to the members.
Like I said, the people who are part of Lumen Institute are from the business world, but is there a certain age range? It seems as though you guys do like to reach out to a whole lot of different people. I had first come across your organization at a Young Catholic Professionals event, and that's mm-hmm. where I'd first learned about it. Is it trying to reach everybody, or is it certain parameters?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the age is starting at 35 and then goes up. There's really no time that you would age out.
Okay.
But if I would just talk about, from a marketing perspective, what you call a persona, the three types of individuals that we see in the Lumen, and mm-hmm. there's three primary ones. The first one is an executive, usually in their early 40s, mid-40s. They're coming up the career track, and they're looking for that mentorship. They want to be in a room where there's successful businessmen, but with, again, a Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. And so they're there seeking, they're mentoring, they're growing in their careers, and they're getting both the spirituality and the business acumen of the other ones. Mm-hmm. Probably the largest group is we see people coming in the early 50s through 60s, mm-hmm. and they've achieved a lot of success in their life. They have the title, or maybe they're running the company, or they're at the vice president and executive level. They have the second home, they have the boat, they have the vacations, and they get to that point in life and say, is that all there is, right? And what's more? And so that's when I think the Lord starts to speak to them a little bit. And so we get a lot of people that are just sort of coming back to their faith. And Lumen likes, that's part of our charism too, is to, I'm going to say, the fallen away Catholic businessman that's coming back to his faith a little bit. And then it's a growing number, but that final one is members who have retired. So maybe they're 65 or mid, early 60s, whatever, and they have more time, talent, and treasure than they have. And now it's more about legacy and what do I do? And these are the ones that can really make an impact and kind of the diamonds in the rough, if you will.
Absolutely. It's just a good reminder about how many people are out there are seeking Christ and seeking that community and that special community where they can gather and like-minded individuals that may come from the same perspective or, again, may have a business background or be in the business world and be able to take that time to have prayer, to have meetings like this. So I know that a lot of people are so appreciative to be a part of it. You had mentioned that there's different people across the greater Houston area. Of course, you'd mentioned it's international. Do you guys have different groups that are based on the parish level? Because I know Houston area is so big. How do you begin to gather different people?
Yeah, we have two chapters in Houston, one in downtown Houston, or in city center area, and the second one in the Woodlands. They're each just under 25 members, so we're just about 50 members throughout Houston.
Very good. Yeah. And you'd mentioned the Woodlands. I know that in spring, that's where the Legionaries of Christ have a house.
Correct.
I want to give a shout out to them because they're very active, a group of priests that are active here in the greater Houston area. I've had a chance to meet and interview Father Nathaniel Haslam, who's been on this program, also chaplain for young Catholic professionals. So I know he's very active. Tell me about just how great it is to have that group of priests that supports them, and like the Lumen Institute being there and helping you guys with everything you need to do.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, actually, to have that community in the town. I think a lot of people don't know of them, but it's a very dynamic group and just the whole charism of the Legionaries of Christ. But so they serve in a lot of different areas. Father Nathaniel specifically attends to business professionals. Okay. So he's been involved through the years, not only with Lumen, but Legatus, Scent is another one.
Yeah.
But it's a very special community. And as a member of Lumen, so you spend more time with them and get to know the other priests. There's also a community of consecrated women. Mm-hmm. And so part of the value proposition of Lumen is they offer spiritual coaching to the wives, which is when you really get into the spirituality and spiritual growth, it's at a family level. So if you can get the wives involved, it's something very special. And we've realized that really the retention of Lumen members, if their wives are involved, it's off the charts.
That makes sense. It's a family affair.
Yes, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Very good. Well, tell me, Bob, like I said, we've been talking about Lumen Institute in general. I want to ask how you kind of came on board with it. When did you join? How long has it been that you've been part of Lumen Institute?
Yeah, I've been part of Lumen for about 12 years now. So as a young CEO, I was in an executive peer group, secular, and it served me very well for 7 or 8 years. But as you go through your career and you grow in your spirituality, at some point you no longer want to compartmentalize your leadership and your spirituality. And you realize that you have to better integrate them because who you are as a leader is really coming from your core values. And so I was actively seeking for a Christian business leadership group. And there are a few out there, non-denominational, Covene and C12. I think they're still out there. They're great groups. I attended a few of those meetings and was discerning that. And as fate would have it, I ran into Father Nathaniel at my parish of St. Ignatius up in spring. And I was in the snow cone line with my son. Father Nathaniel was there, and he's always wanted to strike up a conversation. So he started to tell me about Lumen. It's a Catholic CEO group, and my discernment was about 2 minutes. So I'm in.
Once he found out a little about your own business background.
Yeah, we shared, obviously, an exchange there and realized it was a good fit, and I was seeking. And actually, it was a little more of a process because there's a double discernment. You're discerning Lumen. Is it right for you? But they're also discerning you coming in as a member, and is it the right fit, the right profile, and just to make sure that it's a match there.
Yeah, which is good. You didn't rush into the organization being part of it. Somebody really thought about, discerned, prayed about it.
Yes. So. Yeah, and I was actively looking for that type of organization, so I knew that I wanted to grow spiritually, and I knew that I wanted to integrate my faith and my leadership more.
Yeah. Was the snow cone any good?
It was for my son.
It was for your son. Yeah. Good. Didn't know if you got one at the time, too. You know, maybe you and Father Nathaniel there, you know, sharing snow cones. very good. Well, like I said, sometimes I find it always wonderful that sometimes these conversations with priests can lead to so many wonderful things. Just mm-hmm. sharing ideas, sharing thoughts, and his suggesting the Lumen Institute really worked out for you. Like I said, now you've been involved for over a decade, and now you're the managing director. What does that entail? What do you have to do with that?
Yeah, it's really overseeing the day-to-day operations of the organization. And so I guess part of the how I got there, so I was a Lumen member for probably within 2 years, and they asked me to be chapter president. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's a volunteer organization, so right. you're there, and it's a growing chapter. So I stepped into that, and, you know, concurrent with leading the organization. Mm-hmm. And then Lumen National was looking for a new managing director some years ago. Okay. And I was part of the search committee, mm-hmm. and after some time, they came back and said, we'd really like for you to consider that position. And my kids were a little bit younger at the time, and I said, give me 2 years, and I'll retire a little bit early. And I'll take this on as a sort of a second career and really a vocation, quite yeah. honestly. Yeah. So, and I call it a double discernment because at the same time, I was discerning Regnum Christi, which is the charism of the Legionnaires. And so I don't know if you know a lot about Regnum Christi, but part of that is really that you're seeking an apostolate. And it's a point where you're making a deeper commitment that you're going to have a vocation or you know, an apostolate and serve the Lord in a deeper, more meaningful way. Mm-hmm. So to me, that early retirement and taking on Lumen, that was part, I joined Regnum Christi at the same time.
Yeah. Very good. So then tell me a little about then, you mentioned that you go to Mass at St. Ignatius of Loyola, mm-hmm. which is located in Springs. So shout out to their pastor there, Father Norbert Medusa. Yeah. Tell me a little about if you have any favorite prayers or favorite devotions that you'd like to turn to.
Yeah. Say a daily rosary. And so I guess if there's a favorite prayer, it would be the rosary. Mm-hmm. If, I had a trip many years ago to Medjugorje and the first time in 2002, and I came back, and I think I've been saying the rosary every day since then. So, yeah.
And then you were in Medjugorje, I think that. You were telling me you were also there last year, or 2025, I think.
I was. We had a group of 11 of us. So there were a number of couples in Houston. Our wives had sort of put together a cruise in the Croatia, and I said, okay, if we're going that far over there, I'm leading the Catholics to Medjugorje. We can't be that close and not go. So 11 of us went up there, and it was just an amazing trip. And I don't know if you remember, but last June, the Blessed Mother, she asked for like a special novena. And so when all the pilgrims in town, she said, please come up to the mountain at 5 a.m. every morning. And Marisha was there getting a message. And so we were there for three live apparitions. I mean, obviously, Marisha having the apparition, but you're there, and you can just feel the presence of our Blessed Mother there. And it was a very powerful experience. And so one of the things that the Blessed Mother asks all the pilgrims, go home and start a prayer group, start a Medjugorje prayer group in your families and in your church. So I did that, and I have a family prayer group on Sunday nights, and then we started one through Father Norbert. We went and asked his permission. He thought it was a great idea. So we have a Wednesday morning St. Ignatius Medjugorje prayer group.
And people just get together to pray the rosary together?
Yep. Yeah, it's just a dial-in number. Very easy. A lot of people dial in on their way to work. And okay. So there are those of us who were on the original trip, so we take turns. We say a decade. We weave in the messages of the Blessed Mother before each decade. So we're sort of, you know, people are learning the messages and what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And then we do a prayer to St. Michael. We read the daily gospel and end with a spiritual communion. And it's all within a half an hour. And so, yeah, it's very good. So,
tell me about how you feel after that, Bob. Does it kind of get you ready for the day? Something like that? So powerful?
It is powerful. And I'll share with you, what's really powerful to me is maybe something I didn't expect, because we create these text groups. So we send out, hey, the rosary is going to start in a half an hour, and so people can sort of get ready. Mm-hmm. But it's also open for prayer requests. And through we've been doing it almost a year now. And so you get to sort of know the people and the prayer requests. But that praying for each other, there's really something that's special about praying with and for each other and the intentions. And just opens up your heart a little bit more to see what everyone else is going through, and you realize we're all dealing with a lot of the same issues in mm-hmm. life. But but that was sharing the prayer intentions was, I think, the dimension I wasn't expecting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope whoever is listening or watching this interview will think about praying the rosary on a regular basis like that, if they're not already doing so, because it is a powerful prayer. And you know, also just taking the time to pray or participate in a group like the Lumen Institute, really to discern, you know, where God is calling that individual. So we want to encourage people to be thinking about that, praying about that. As I mentioned to you before, Bob, we live in such a busy day and age where we have many people who are professionals or executives who are so busy. And so, you know, we know that they need places to go. Mm-hmm. They need those avenues. And the good part is we're blessed here in the greater Houston area where we have organizations like Lumen Institute, like we have priests from Legionaries of Christ, that we have places that we can turn to. So we just ask people who are listening or watching this via video to pray for all those out there who are looking for where God is calling them to be, what group they want them to be a part of. And like you said, everybody's invited if they want to join the Rosary group as well. It's nice to know people can just call in, you know, wherever they may be. If they want to do that, I'm sure they can call the church office at the at St. Ignatius of Loyola,
yes,
which is in Spring. So we'll just encourage people, if that's something they feel called to join y'all's particular Rosary group, Medjugorje group, they can do so. Call the church office, say, hey, I'm looking to get in contact with Bob Dill. Bob is can get you straight, and they'll write down the information for that. Like I said, luckily, I'm glad you guys are, you know, blessed to have the support of Father Norbert there. So that's absolutely wonderful. So, Bob, then just wrapping things up, if people want to learn more about Lumen Institute, mm-hmm. what's the website for that?
Lumeninstitute.org.
Okay.
And if you go on there, and there's a lot of information about the organization, what we do, the mission, and then also if they want to put their contact information, mm-hmm. somebody will follow up with them within 24 hours.
And the good news is if somebody's a business executive or, like I said, professional in different parts of the country, in many cases different parts of the world, whoever may be listening or watching this, they can go on there and see if they've got a chapter or something locally in their area as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. So,
very good. Excellent. Well, as we wrap things up, Bob, I wanted to give you a chance to say anything that you might not have had the opportunity to say, you know, either, you know, thanking the community at St. Ignatius of Loyola, thanking the Lumen Institute, people in your life that are there, have been in the past, or are part of it right now that's helping you to draw closer to Christ and the church.
Yeah. I guess you mentioned the busyness earlier, and I would say that's the one thing that I noticed the most in this world. There's a lot of really good people with really good intentions, mm-hmm. but they don't take the time to listen to the Lord. They don't time to seek. They know that they should. And when you have these heart-to-heart conversations, it always comes back to, yeah, I know I should take more time. And so I guess if there's anything I would share, it's to be more intentional about that and to carve that time out. And for a lot of us, early morning works the best because as soon as the day gets set in motion, it's gone. So, you know, so maybe the rosary over coffee or just 10 or 15 minutes or reading the gospel reflection, but just spending a little bit of time early in the morning with our Lord and being quiet and just listening for his voice. And I think that's the message I would want to share.
Very good. It's a powerful message. It's definitely one that's relevant in this day and age. We'll pray that people take that time, be intentional about doing so. Bob Dill, Managing Director, the Lumen Institute. Again, the website is lumeninstitute.org. Also, shout out to everybody, Rosary Group, and everybody at St. Ignatius of Loyola in Spring, Texas. Bob, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate your sharing a little bit about your own faith and Lumen Institute.
Very good. Thank you, Wyatt.
We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are talking about a new smartphone app created by a local aimed at helping the faithful learn Latin prayers and better follow the traditional Latin Mass while in attendance. We'll talk with Holden Cole about why and how he developed his own smartphone app after attending a many local traditional Latin Masses. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430.
Hi, Guadalupe Radio Network families. This is Ruben Rendon, attorney of Rendon & Associates. We are proud sponsors of this local Catholic radio station, AM 1430. Rendon & Associates are worker injury lawyers who are dedicated to protecting workers' rights in Houston. We provide help with workplace injury cases and can assist with understanding workers' injury law. Learn more at RubenRendon.com. That's RubenRendon.com.
Hi folks, the 2026 Summer Share-a-thon is right around the corner, taking place June 8th through June 12th. As part of the new St. Gabriel level donation, you'll have an opportunity to win two tickets for this year's Good News Conference taking place in Nashville, Tennessee. Speakers will include Bishop Barron, Father Mike Schmitz, and many others. Make sure to tune in June 8th through the 12th and consider a pledge or one-time donation to support the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ. Here in the greater Houston area, there are a lot of Catholics that love to learn more about their faith and the traditions of the church. One local man has created a free, downloadable smartphone app that's aimed at helping the faithful learn and practice traditional Latin prayers. That includes a walkthrough of the traditional Latin Mass. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network to talk all about his love for the Catholic faith, as well as his efforts to create a brand new app for smartphones in order to help people learn a little bit more about the traditional Latin Mass, as well as traditional Latin prayers, is Holden Cole. Holden is originally from College Station, Texas, but has now been living in the Woodlands for about a month. Holden, thanks for being here in the KSHJ studio. Glad to have you here, sir.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
Very good. Well, I want to ask you all about this effort that you did to create your own app for smartphones that helps people if they want to learn more about traditional Catholic prayers and learn a little bit about Latin, too, at the same time. But before I talk with you all about that, I just want to ask you a little about your faith and how you came to the Catholic Church, because you yourself are a convert. Born and raised in College Station, did you grow up in a particularly religious household?
So I was baptized and raised Methodist, but I'm putting a bit too much emphasis on raised. So I was baptized. My grandmother was actually Catholic, so I had a weird upbringing where there were a lot of statues of Mary and the saints, so I didn't have the typical anti-Catholic upbringing. But I prayed every day, read some of the children's Bibles, you know, like a lot of kids do, and I enjoyed my upbringing. I knew all about Jesus. But I kind of, I would say, maybe fell away from faith in general and was agnostic most of my life. And then I was at college at Texas A&M during COVID. That was actually my freshman year, was 2020, which is brutal. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people, I was thinking, is that all there is? You know, I kind of felt empty, like there wasn't anything going on. And I just researched religion, everything from ancient religions that don't exist to Christianity, and ultimately ended up joining OCIA. And here I am now, 3 years as being Catholic.
And it's called OCIA now. I guess at the time when you were converting, it was RCIA.
They were just in the process of switching it. It's like, oh, it's not technically a rite, so we have to switch the first letter. So I have to catch myself sometimes mentioning OCIA instead of R.
Well, I know they're at Texas A&M. They have such a wonderful Catholic community. St. Mary's is great. Being there on the campus with a lot of other Catholics like that, did that really help you in coming into the church?
They had an excellent program, even better now. And as you see, there's so many people converting to Catholicism, especially there at St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. We had an excellent program where they had table leaders that were Catholic. They could answer your questions. I had their phone numbers. I could text them, call them anytime. They had fantastic guest speakers coming in. So I couldn't imagine a better place to convert. And I remember going in thinking, oh, I'm just here to learn. I'm not here to convert. And we all saw where that ended up.
Was there something about the Mass or about the sacraments? Was there something that just attracted you to it that you kept wanting to come back?
I would say I had a very intellectual conversion in the sense that I was trying to find what church I felt like was closer to the early Christian church. So as a lot of people do, I read the early church fathers, like, oh, this sounds very much like the Catholic Mass. Sounds like a lot like the Catholic teachings that we still have nowadays, especially St. Justin Martyr mentioning and talking about how they go through the Catholic Mass. So all those little things, and then a lot of the things you take for granted, like Jesus loves you or God forgives you, I'd never really thought about that since I had the intellectual conversion, but actually sitting there, talking with them, hearing that, I think I felt a movement of heart for sure.
So you really were searching for God in that sense. You really were searching for the church.
Absolutely, because at that point in 2020 where I felt like there wasn't anything, I definitely reached out in prayer and I felt instantly better. And I didn't just assume, okay, Christianity is true, time to start praying and reading the Bible. I thought, okay, let's step back a few steps and see what's true intellectually. Can I wrap my mind around it? And I absolutely could. And it led me to Catholicism, everything. There weren't any holes. I tried to find the loopholes and like, oh, where are the holes here? I definitely could not find it. Anything from not understanding what's going on with the saints or, wow, the Eucharist, what's this real presence about? And ultimately now, it means the most important thing in my life for me.
Tell me about any favorite prayers that you have, favorite devotions that really help you. Like I said, I know you had really good intellectual conversion, but what helps you spiritually?
I've tried to increase my prayer life. I say it's relatively robust now, so I try to do stuff in the morning, afternoon, and evening. So I do a lot of reading. I really enjoy contemplative prayer, reading the Bible, meditating on that. I really love the Imitation of Christ. It's kind of plain speak, and I don't understand it pretty well. And I pray the rosary every day, usually in the evening and at night, trying not to pray it right when I'm about to go to bed, where I'm too tired. But I really enjoy the rosary. I have a special devotion to especially the Sorrowful Mysteries, Our Lady of Sorrow, anything along those lines.
You had mentioned a reference St. Justin Martyr earlier. I'm wondering if you have any other favorite saints that stand out for you.
Well, since I'm a convert, I got to pick my own confirmation saint, and I got a lot of that. So my confirmation saint is St. Jerome. Mm-hmm. I really liked him. Obviously, he translated the Bible, made the Latin Vulgate, but I felt like his personality was very similar to my own, and I saw a lot of myself in him. It's like, oh, this sounds like my kind of guy. And then
He was intellectual, very smart.
He was very smart, and he was kind of like frenemies with St. Augustine as well. They would send each other letters, you know, kind of talking about their theology. But currently, I'm big into all the Carmelite saints, like St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Teresa of Avila, Story of Souls, definitely my favorite book by far.
Very good. Excellent. So then where nowadays, Holden, do you go to Mass?
So on Sundays, I typically go to Regina Chaley Parish, which is an FSSP. They have Mass all day on Sunday, multiple Masses, usually packed, especially the High Mass at 11:30. And then I will also go to daily Mass at St. Simon and Jude or St. Anthony of Padua, both up in there at the Woodlands.
Yeah, a lot of great churches like that here in the greater Houston area. You had mentioned Regina Chaley. We've had the pastor on here, Father Van Fleet. Mm-hmm. Great to have him on. Of course, Regina Chaley is a parish that draws people from across the greater Houston area who are interested in attending the traditional Latin Mass. So, Holden, for people who are not familiar with what that is, how do we describe the traditional Latin Mass?
So think of when you go to regular Mass, Novus Ordo Mass, all the mm-hmm. prayers that you hear, think all those prayers, but in Latin. And mm-hmm. then there are more prayers, like a prayers at the footstep of the altar, or they have a longer, different, like the Pater Noster, everything like that, that you say the Our Father, that's all in Latin. And then the priest faces the altar instead of facing the people, so that's called Ad Orientem, which is towards the east. And there's a lot of little things like that as well. Everything's in Latin. If anybody knows Spanish and they go there, you can hear it. They're very, very similar. Like whenever you pray the rosary in Latin, it sounds like the rosary in Spanish.
Yeah, a lot of the root words.
Yeah, they sound very similar. So if you're a native Spanish speaker and you go to the traditional Latin Mass, you're like, okay, I can understand what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that there are definitely a lot of people who have an attraction to the traditional Latin Mass, have an attraction to some of these prayers, and really have said how kind of powerful it can be to attend one of these Masses and kind of it's enriching to sort of learn about the history of the Catholic Church. What do you think it is, Holden, about some of these traditional Latin Mass and Latin prayers that tend to attract people of all ages, whether it's young people, old people, etc.?
I think it goes with the same trend that we see young people to converting Catholicism in Mass across the U.S. and across the world. And they are looking for something more. You know, they want traditions of the Catholic Church. So when they read about the saints, you know, saints going to the traditional Latin Mass, doing the prayers in Latin, a lot of the saints praying in Latin. And it's definitely a kind of a shell shock the first time you go to a Latin Mass, but mm-hmm. it's very reverent. And a lot of young people, whether it be young people, old people, new converts, they're looking for that reverence, kind of that silent prayer. And you can find that in higher concentrations, it feels like, at the Latin Mass for sure.
I want to give one shout out, speaking of the traditional Latin Mass, to Father Paul Felix at the Church of the Annunciation in downtown, because he does one of the Latin Masses mm-hmm. on Sunday mornings, and they're very reverent. So I've definitely noticed that in attending that Mass before. So in thinking about all of that, Holden, you had created this app for smartphones, and it's sort of a prayer companion. It includes some of these Latin prayers. Tell me about what was the impetus. Why did you want to create an app that helps Catholics or people of faith learn and keep track of some of these traditional prayers?
Yeah, so when you go to a traditional Latin Mass, there's a book, you have the Missal, and you have to flip around to all the different areas, and it has the Latin next to it and the English next to it. Mm-hmm. And I've been going to Latin Mass for a while now, and to be honest, I still don't really know how to use the Missal. Like, would it be nice if I had something on my phone that had the whole thing right there, and then all the other prayers, whether it be the Divine Office, which is the older version of the Liturgy of the Hours, or the Stations of the Cross, the Rosary. And I just looked for apps out there, and I wanted to just find something for myself. It's like, okay, well, it doesn't really exist, so I think I'm just going to make it for myself. Whether a bunch of people download it, nobody downloads it, it doesn't matter. So I just decided to kind of go on that journey and learn. I'm learning. I'm still learning the Latin. I'm still learning all the prayers myself. So it's been an excellent journey.
Because you've been Catholic now 3 years?
Yes.
Very good. Yeah, because in many cases, for those of us who, like myself, who have been Catholic all our lives, we're still learning. We're still lots of stuff to learn after 2,000 years of Catholic tradition. So then thinking about this, how did you develop an app? Because when you were at A&M, you studied business, right?
Yeah.
So did you have an interest also in programming? How did you create it?
A lot of the business and finance world is very computer-driven, very program-driven. So I had classes I took at school and kind of things I learned on my own. I've built things for work and on my own that involves programming. Never built an app before, but I was like, okay, I have this skill set as well. I want to be able to use it, something for good. You know, St. Carlo Acutis recently, you know, he built a website, and that was his whole thing because he knew about computer programming. It's like, okay, I have some of these skills as well. I might as well do that for something at least that I would like to use.
I know you were looking to expand that app. Tell me the name of the app, by the way.
It's Introibo.
Introibo. So it's a Latin word. What is Introibo? What does that mean? Where does that come from?
Yeah, so when you go to traditional Latin mass, I mentioned the prayers at the footsteps of the altar. The first thing the priest will say, he says it silently, is Introibo ad altar di, which means I will go unto the altar of God. So it's when they're approaching the altar, the Blessed Sacrament, the priest says that. So I thought it would be cool to have the first word of traditional Latin mass be the name of the app. And I'm surprisingly and thankfully nobody had used that name yet.
Oh, yeah. You never know. The names are taken and whatnot. So I know you're still working on some of the programming because you created it for iOS. But I know a lot of people have been asking you about the Android version as well. So I'm guessing that's kind of a work in progress.
Yeah, it's moving relatively quickly. So I'm building that. It's moving relatively quickly because I have the whole thing built. The biggest thing is the differences between how an Android phone works and how an iPhone works. So
yeah.
I'm in beta testing. Oh, my mom has an Android. I have an iPhone. So I make her download it. Yeah. I'm like, okay, can you look in this? And I click on it around her phone. So I'm definitely doing that. And the app, the iOS version right now is I'm not improving it anymore right this second. I'm waiting for the Android to come out. But it's definitely in the very, very early stages.
And this app is for free. You don't have ads, no tracking. How do you measure some kind of success with this?
How many people are downloading it? That's it. That's all there is to it. I can see on my app store how many people have downloaded it, looking at the reviews. It's over 50 countries. I just recently had a look at people downloading it in Estonia, Indonesia, Malaysia.
Wow.
I kind of feel bad having it only in English and Latin. And all these people are in their third or fourth languages reading it. So I'm definitely going to have to do some language localization, Spanish being the first one. But it's really cool just seeing people use it. Obviously, I'm not profiting off of it. So it's a labor of love that I really enjoy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you emphasized that labor of love with Introibo. It's just something that you kind of wanted to just give back. And I'm guessing you're also hoping that people will just learn a little bit about Latin prayers because oftentimes they don't have a church like Regina Caeli or go to Latin Mass at Church of the Annunciation where they can learn about these prayers, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I say that's a big pro of having a lot of technology. There's a lot of things to not like about it, but you can go on YouTube, you can go anywhere and watch how to say this prayer in Latin or even just watch the traditional Latin Mass on YouTube and see what's going on because you can learn everything you want on your phone, but you have to go in person and see what the things are, what's going on. I went for a long time without using a missal and just kind of understanding, especially if you go to a Novus Ordo, when they kneel, what this means. Like the holy, 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 when you get Novus Ordo is sanctus, sanctus, sanctus. So you can kind of see where the differences, where the similarities are.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm glad that you're saying all this as somebody like yourself who has an interest in the rosary and traditional Latin Mass, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who go to Mass, and if they go to a Latin Mass, they may not fully understand everything. So it's good to know that they don't have to feel bad about it. They can always study it, learn more. And if they download Introibo, maybe they can learn something about it.
I'd say we're also a bit privileged nowadays. People going for centuries to the Latin Mass couldn't read anything or know what's going on. So being able to go on the internet now or download an app, you can read and hear what's going on. It makes it a lot easier to learn nowadays. I'd say centuries people would go to Mass and not know what they're saying because they didn't understand Latin. They certainly couldn't read. So I'd say nowadays we have a lot of good opportunities.
That's a great point, Holden. We're definitely blessed to live in this day and age where we are literate, able to understand. You're right. Some of the folks in different parts of the world know multiple languages, so it kind of makes me feel bad not being bilingual or anything. But who knows? Maybe a little bit of Latin can help us out a little bit. So again, the name of the app is Introibo. Where can people find it?
Yeah, so you can either go to introiboapp.com, and there's a link there for the iOS to download it on your iPhone, and there will be a link for the Android, or you can go on to the iOS App Store and just look up Introibo TLM app. So that's TLM, like traditional Latin mass. Mm-hmm. So those are two ways to find it, and should be on Android sooner rather than later, hopefully.
You also have this company that's part of that. It's called Lampstand. Mm-hmm. Is the idea to do more of this kind of thing?
Yeah, so I have more ideas. I don't want to go into too many details, but I'm big into going to the gym and weightlifting. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, especially during Lent, people can't eat certain things. They're fasting. So the idea is how to hit your macros, how to hit your protein when you're fasting, and then how to get the workouts in, those kind of things. I have a lot of different small ideas as well. So this is just the first step, but definitely the highest concentration of my time.
Very good. We'll be praying for anybody who might come across this app, might come across your website, download it, maybe want to learn a little bit more about some of these traditional Latin prayers, or just more about history and devotions of the Catholic Church. So we appreciate your time being here again. It's Introibo. Look up Lampstand as well. Again, it's Holden Cole, and it's Introibo is the app. Holden, thank you so much for being here with us at KSHJ. We appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Coming up after the break, we are bringing Dr. Carlo Broussard to Houston for a big speaker event. We'll check in with Zach Allen, KSHJ General Manager, who is helping organize the big speaker event, and how you can register. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430.
During May, the month of Mary, you are invited to help a single mom by making a gift to honor the Blessed Virgin and your own mother. Your gift to Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston provides formula, diapers, and other necessities to a family in need. You can help a struggling mother and be a blessing to her baby. Learn more and how at CatholicCharities.org. That's CatholicCharities.org.
Southeast Houston Cardiology is a proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network and enjoys great programming such as The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarindi. Southeast Houston Cardiology has been serving patients with heart disease and vascular disease with up-to-date care. Southeast Houston Cardiology has two locations, Webster and Pasadena. You can contact them online at southeasthoustoncardiology.com or 281-338-4004. Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break. This is the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsby, the executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. We are blessed here in the Houston area to have so many wonderful parishes and so many great Catholic activities that are on the horizon. That includes one that we are organizing ourselves here with our radio station, KSHJ. That includes our next big speaker event, which is called the KSHJ Keeping the Promise event. And so we want to talk a little bit more about that and make sure you save on your calendar the date of Saturday, August 8th. So join us here on Catholic Lunch Break is KSHJ General Manager and my colleague, Zach Allen, to talk more about all the planning that's going on for this speaker event, as well as the keynote speaker himself. So, Zach, welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break.
Thank you, Wyatt. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great. I am really looking forward to this one. Tell me, so we got a speaker event. We've done this last couple of years. We've kind of rebranded it. We're calling it Keeping the Promise. But let's not waste any time. Tell us who we are bringing to Houston for a speaker event on August 8th.
So in order not to waste any time, like you said, Wyatt, it is doctor. It's a doctor.
Of course.
It's not the same doctor as last year.
Okay.
Last year, Dr. Ray, he did a great job.
He did a great job.
But this year, our doctor also likes to answer questions live. Catholic answers is what he usually gives to those questions. And his name is Dr. Carlo Broussard.
All right. Very good.
So very excited. Yeah, very excited to have him coming in.
Yeah, and the theme of this particular event is the unstoppable gospel of an evening of Catholic inspiration. And I think that's definitely appropriate for Dr. Carlo Broussard. He's an apologist on the, you know, of course, like you mentioned, the ever-popular Catholic Answers. And he can be heard here on KSHJ every day at 5 o'clock in the evening, 5 o'clock p.m., in Houston, KSHJ AM 1430. So usually he's answering questions, you know, about the faith. Often he's responding to, you know, questions from our Protestant brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this, Zach, because I think he does a great job of speaking and clarifying things.
Yeah, one thing I'm excited about, Wyatt, for Dr. Carlo coming in is because he actually wrote a book called Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also an interesting way to think about when Protestants ask us questions, it is a challenge, like, you know, for us to respond and say, what do we believe as Catholics? The challenge is for us to know our faith. And so he wrote that book, and he also taught a course for the GRN Academy on the same subject, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. And in this talk, he's given a talk on how to live out the gospel joyfully, right? The Unstoppable Gospel, An Evening of Catholic Inspiration being the title of the talk. But what I'm looking forward to is hearing how to live out the gospel message in a Catholic mindset in a joyful way. And then also for people to be able to ask questions at the end, because he is so good at succinctly answering questions and articulating things in a way that you can then repeat because you were able to digest it, right? I think sometimes we can listen to things and learn a lot, but because it was taught at a high level, we don't really know how to communicate to anyone else because we received it at a high level. And so he does a really good job of giving you the high level information, but breaking it down in a way that you can then communicate to the other people in your life.
Yeah, and that's definitely needed. And, you know, as we have conversations, Wecubitch, with our Protestant brothers and sisters, often we know our faith. If we're Catholics, often we know what we believe. Sometimes it's hard to find the right words, though. You know, somebody
exactly
will ask us
right.
They'll ask us a really good question. We're like, well, I want to answer that question the best way I can, but I'm trying to find the right words and the right ways to describe it. And, hopefully Dr. Carlo will kind of help with some of that. Like I said, he's great with Q&A, answer a few questions. And, you know, Zach, when we've done this speaking event last couple of years, you know, people ask good questions. We have people lining up for Q&As, and they'll ask good ones. I mean, sometimes about, you know, conversations with our Protestant brothers and sisters, questions about the Catholic Church, sometimes, you know, the Christian tradition. A lot of really insightful stuff here. So I've really enjoyed some of that, the robust Q&A in years past.
No, that's been a great – I mean, we've had this event two other times. So, you know, we've had our Summer Speaker Series event twice, and this will be our third. And each topic has been a little bit different, right? So the first year it was on the spirit life, the spiritual world, and that was with Adam and Debbie. And then last year with Dr. Ray, it was more about practical living in your family life. And so this year it's about living out the gospel message. And so – the questions that the topics kind of pull out of people are different. And so it'll be exciting to see which questions are brought forward this year. And I'm wondering why, because of Dr. Carlo's presence on Catholic Answers Live and because he does the Ready Catholic Minutes for us that play kind of throughout the day, and people know that he's really good at answering those challenging questions that people might have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if we might get a few questions that aren't really related to his talk, but are something that people came pre-prepared to ask.
Mm-hmm. And that happens. Like you said, we got that the last 2 years, but they're really good questions. They might be something related to like the church or Catholicism, and they're kind of out of left field, but they're kind of good questions.
They are good. Yeah, exactly right. And this is your opportunity, right? If you come to the event, this is your opportunity to have to ask a live question to Dr. Carlo and get his answer.
And, you know, who knows, Zach, that might appeal to more than just, you know, you and I as Catholics or people who are listening to this program as Catholics. Maybe if, you know, we have Protestant brothers and sisters who want to attend, you know, people who want to hear Carlo Broussard's message about the unstoppable gospel and living life joyfully as a follower of Christ. Like I said, we talked about a robust Q&A. I think it'd be great if we had different people of different Christian backgrounds ask questions and maybe learn something from Carlo Broussard's responses.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's a great opportunity for that. And given Dr. Carlo's background in working in that area, I think it's a great opportunity because, you know, some people are curious, you know, why we call it Catholic apologetics. Like, are we apologizing for being Catholic or, you know, what are we doing? And so really, I always think about it as, you know, it's really our explanations of the faith. And Carlo does a great job of explaining in a way that we can understand it. And also, it's not judgmental, right? I mean, someone that's practicing their Protestant faith, if they're living their life for Christ and they're doing their best and they're seeking God's help and they're praying, to the best of their knowledge, they're living out the faith. And the only way that could change is if they learned something new. And the Catholic Church has so much to offer, people can always be learning something new. I mean, Dr. Carlo, this is his whole profession, is being a Catholic apologist, constantly teaching people about the faith. But he's also got to constantly be learning about the faith to be able to do that. And so there should be no shame in anyone that has any questions about the Catholic Church. Why does the Catholic Church teach this? Why do y'all do that? You know, because the answers will help everyone in the room. Because the truth is, there are cradle Catholics, you know, what we call, I say we, but what many people call people that have been born into a Catholic family, baptized maybe as an infant, and have practiced the Catholic faith their whole life. Many times they don't know the reasons behind a lot of the things they do because they've never really even thought about it. They've just done it, you know, forever. Yeah. And so these questions from Protestants or for anyone else enrich our own lives as Catholics because we have to think, why am I doing that? Then we get to learn what the church teaches us and then live it out in a more meaningful way because now we have the knowledge of it. And so, yeah, it's got an opportunity to be a great night and really meaningful for a lot of different people.
Keeping the Promise is what we're calling it. Dr. Carlo Broussard coming to town. It's going to be Saturday, August 8th. So I'm urging you to save that date. Put it in your calendar, Saturday, August 8th. It's not very often that we bring world-class speakers that you hear on Catholic Radio, Guadalupe Radio Network, to Houston. But this one's special, Dr. Carlo Broussard. Zach, I want to provide kind of the location and the times. Again, I mentioned Saturday, August 8th, and I wanted to reiterate it several times so people can take note of that. It's during the evening of Saturday, August 8th. Where is it going to be held?
So this year we're going to have the event at Christ the Redeemer Catholic Church there in the Cypress area. And you can, it's right there off Huffmeister,
yeah,
I believe.
Huffmeister, yeah.
And if you type it in, you know, online, you'll find the address right there. We're hoping because it's very centrally located, it'll be easy for a lot of people to make it out that night. The event will open at 6:30, and that'll be for like eating and for drinking and for hanging out with everyone, meeting people. And then his talk and the real meat of the night will start at 7 o'clock. So Dr. Carlo will introduce him and everything right at 7. We'll jump into his talk, and then he'll finish up. We'll have Q&A, and then some more time to maybe take some pictures or, you know, get some books signed if you have some of his books until 9 o'clock. We'll close up at 9 and head home. And my invitation, everybody, is to consider, if you've never been to Christ the Redeemer for Mass, their evening Mass on Saturday is just before our event will start at 5 p.m. So you could go to Mass at 5 and then walk on over to our event, doors opening at 6:30. And it could be a really great opportunity for maybe husband and wife or people that, you know, maybe if you're dating, it could be a great date night, whether or not you're married yet. If you do have kids, I think if your kids, you know, are open to coming to the event, if you want to have them, it should be family-friendly content. And I think if your kids are, you know, 10 or above, they'd probably enjoy the content as well.
Absolutely. So again, just to reiterate, like you were saying, Zach, that is Saturday, August 8th. Doors open at 6:30. This is at Christ the Redeemer Catholic Church in their parish hall. Christ the Redeemer Catholic Church, again, Saturday, August 8th for Dr. Carlo Broussard. Tickets are only $45. That includes not only admission, but also we're going to have catering by some food. Is it Grupo Herrera? I'm trying to remember. Is that the one that's catering?
Yes. Yeah, Grupo Herrera, and they have delicious food.
A little bit later this week, we're going to have that full website with all the details about Dr. Carlo Broussard as the speaker event go live on our website. So we'll be putting that out there. If you're on our email list, you'll get that. Also, follow us on social media, Guadalupe Radio Network, and on Facebook. We have a Facebook group called GRN Houston. We'll be posting more information about this event and how you can get tickets and sign up for. But in the meantime, again, save that date, Saturday, August 8th. Dr. Carlo Broussard for the speaker event. It's called the KSHJ Keeping the Promise. So, Zach, now that we've run through all that, which is going to be a very exciting event, I did want to mention another big thing on our calendar, which is coming up during the month of June. If you remember in the headlines in the news, the U.S. bishops are going to be consecrating our country, the United States of America, to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's kind of been a point that we've been talking about Guadalupe Radio Network, and it's why we have named our theme for our next Share-a-thon, that's our big call-in fundraiser, Consecration for the Sacred Heart. I'm excited about that. Remind me, when is our next Share-a-thon? What's the date on that, Zach?
So our next Share-a-thon is going to be the week of June 8th through the 12th.
Okay, very good. And I know that usually, Zach, for our Share-a-thons, you know, people are calling in, making pledges of support. And we also have volunteers that come here to answer phone calls. What date are we going to have volunteers here in the Houston office doing that?
Tuesday, June 9th. And we could certainly use a little bit more help. We have a couple of volunteers lined up, but we usually need between 6 and 7 for each of our shifts. That's the morning shift from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then our evening shift from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's not difficult if you've never done it before. We'll send out a training video, and then when you get here, we can walk you through. It's very simple. We usually have a few people that are returners, and so they can also help you out throughout the day. It's a great experience, an opportunity to talk to people, hear their prayer intentions, take their support for the GRN, pass that on to the people that are on the air, and then they call out, you know, all of the things that are being called in, and it's a lot of fun. We usually have great food. Some snacks are available, and hopefully you can join us. If you have never done it before, we'd love to have you. Please just send me a quick email, zachary@grnonline.com. And like I said, we do need a few more volunteers.
Very good. So again, just to reiterate that, check your calendar, see if you could be a volunteer on Tuesday, June the 9th, either as Zach said, during that 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. time frame, or maybe the 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. time frame. Just to reiterate, if you want more information about volunteering for the Share-a-thon, again, that Tuesday, June the 9th, or about our speaker event, Keeping the Promise, and more details on that, to reiterate Zach's email, you can email him and ask him about any information. It's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Zachary, at grnonline.com. So it's Zachary at grnonline.com. We've already had some people making inquiries. You'd said already, Zach, we have a few volunteers lined up. Again, lots of stuff going on here, and so I appreciate Zach coming on just to give a quick recap. Again, if you want to email Zach about all that stuff and just get up to speed on everything that's going on, his email, again, Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, at grnonline.com. Zach Allen, thanks again for the recap on everything. Lots going on, but it's an exciting time for us in KSHJ.
Yeah, thank you so much, Wyatt. Yeah, there's definitely a lot going on, but it's all a lot of good things. So grateful for everything we have going on.
And I want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, our supporters who are tuning in here to Catholic Lunch Break, whether it's online or over the radio. Thank you for your support of our ministry of the Guadalupe Radio Network. And with that, this wraps up this edition of Catholic Lunch Break. My thanks to Zach Allen, Jax Morris, David Magianis, and Tim Mott, everyone here in the Houston office. And thank you again for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network. God bless you the rest of this week and a very happy Memorial Day. Until next time, stay Catholic, Houston.
Run in such a way that you obtain the prize, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. At a women's event, one mom admitted she felt guilty everywhere she went. At work, she wished she was at home, and at home, she worried about work. I often feel that way, but God calls us to do what must be done, for He is with us. We read that in Samuel. I may not be Wonder Woman, but there is wonder in life itself. We're called to work hard, glorify God, and trust Him with the rest. So read Scripture.